I like to joke and say that she was raised in a pen in her backyard. She doesn't like that.
Doesn't like that joke? That seems strange.
Oh,
Julie.
Julie, she was born on a farm, raised in a pen.
I can't imagine why she wouldn't like that, yeah.
Well, she says I'm the country one.
Oh. You're the southern one, she's the country one.
She's the country one, I'm the southern one, you're right.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
You have a twang.
There's a difference.
Yeah, much of the South isn't actually country, per se.
That's true. But it automatically is where people go to when they think of that.
Well, I think they get a lot of that mixed up because they consider like all hill folk to be southern too, and by and large, I guess maybe they are. But there's not really a lot of hills down south, are there?
Sure, that's where the Appalachians are.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they mostly run up towards. I mean, technically it's the South, but I'm saying like that's still up in like Kentucky and stuff, you know.
Kentucky is considered the South.
Okay.
Kentucky and some of West Virginia and Virginia is considered the South.
Is it entirely based on the Mason-Dixon line?
I think now, yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah. I watched Gone with the Wind yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen that movie. I assume everyone has seen that movie. It's a very long movie.
A long, long time ago.
It's super, super dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I knew it would be dark for war reasons, but the relationship end
yeah,
of it
is it's pretty super, shitty.
Super fucked up.
Yeah.
But not what I was expecting. I was expecting like a southern, you know, proper romance kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
in the backdrop of the Civil War, and then it was just
definitely
fucked up. Bad people.
One of those movies that when you see it, because you grow up hearing about it, and then you finally sit down and you watch it, and you're like, yeah, I am not getting what you guys are seeing in this.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but
I did not.
It was super fucked up. She throws herself down the stairs and shit. It's like, whoa.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
Man. And also, I was really confused about the tone for at least the first half of it. Because I thought we were supposed to like Scarlett O'Hara, and she was, I thought, interminable and spoiled and terrible, but it seemed like you were supposed to like her and think she was beautiful and wonderful. And then as the movie goes on, it totally goes against that.
Yeah, I still don't know if you're supposed to like her in that movie.
No, I don't think you are. I think you're supposed to think she's awful.
But, I mean, there are people that, like, I mean,
she's like a famous idolized character.
Yeah.
Right?
Growing up, I mean, yeah.
Like the definition of a Southern Belle.
Yeah.
She's like spoiled and terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the point is she learns her lesson or
well,
doesn't
you know,
really.
She goes through a lot. I mean, I don't know if she does at the end, you know.
There are better examples in cinema of that lesson being learned.
Yeah.
That might be a context thing still. Like, for when it was made versus what we think about stuff now.
Sure. But I get what you're saying, but I don't know.
I mean, that was definitely a racy enough movie that I remember my grandma saying that her mother wouldn't let her go see it when she was a kid.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of violence in it.
So, yeah, I mean, even then, I think they recognize that train. But I think even then they recognize that it wasn't like, I mean, it was supposed to be an adult movie, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it
yeah.
wasn't like a family fun frolic or anything, yeah.
It's an epic.
It is an epic.
Yeah.
In the actual use of the
word. Oddly enough, I'm reading Little Women, which is set in the.
Didn't you just read that?
No, I read like Wuthering Heights and Sense and Sensibility and Pride and Prejudice and stuff.
So why are you reading Little Women?
For a sequel to Smallville.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened.
Yeah,
admit it.
Yeah, it's my follow up to Smallville.
You have to tell us what's your.
I don't. I'm finding at this point though they both have about the same amount of you know actual content. My mom, when we were running around for Mother's Day finding her flowers and stuff, she was talking about I guess they had just broadcast the first episode of some British production of it that they had made last year, but they were broadcasting on BBC America this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she had just watched the first installment of it, and I remember after we were talking about it, that I had it in my list of books of, you know, that list of great classic novels that I've never read, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down and read it, and it's really weird. I mean,
why is it really weird?
Well, how do I put, like, this is a very well-regarded book, it seems. Like, you know, a lot of people really like it. It's been made into several different productions, et cetera, et cetera. And it's, you know, one of those few books that have stuck around for 160 years or whatever, you know, that people still read. But to me, it just seems really, like, scant on point. You know, like, any kind of, like, what's the purpose of this beyond being a bunch of moral plays? Like, it seems more of an instructional primer for young girls on how to overcome personal faults, you know?
Really? I never read this book.
Like, it's interesting enough, but it's like, there's not a lot of, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of meat to it or anything, you know? It's a very nice book.
Like, nice
book? Yeah, well, nice in that, you know, I mean, it's people that, essentially, it's these, you know, the story of these four girls growing up, and they used to be rich, and then through mishap became poor. But, like, the stories mostly center around how they realize that they have, like, anger issues or, like, vanity issues or whatever, and how they overcome them, you know? Which is why I mean, like, it seems like a series of moral plays as opposed to an actual story about something. I mean, I guess a moral play is a story, but, you know, like, it's not like an adventure. It's not really high conflict. Most of the conflicts seem so trivial that you're just sort of like, yeah, I got to go through that on a day-to-day basis, you know, like, of which, again, that may be a context thing. A lot of this stuff may have been a lot more important back then, but, you know, it's just weird. I'm only, like, a little over halfway through it, but apparently some great tragedy comes up. I keep getting hints from my parents about it. But, and I keep saying, don't spoil it with a joke because it's like 160 years old. So how are you going to spoil it, right?
Spoilers.
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to read this stuff and kind of try to figure out why it's remained as popular as it is, I guess. Because, I mean, people still read this book and, like it a lot. You know, it's like reading Pride and Prejudice or something, which most of the characters in Pride and Prejudice I couldn't stand. You know, like, again, and it's the same thing, like, okay, because, you know, we were talking about Scarlett O'Hara. I mean, in Gone with the Wind, she's more or less set up to be our sympathetic character, right? I mean, our focus on this.
I thought so.
Yeah, in that movie, sure.
Yeah, like you were saying, I mean, it's hard to really, I mean, yeah, she goes through a lot of shit, but it's like, it's hard to really sympathize with her, you know?
Yeah.
And this isn't like Little Women's not like that, where it's, I mean, you can sympathize with these girls, because, I mean, still a lot of what they're going through are just things that people still go through, it's just the times and surroundings have changed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's also kind of silly, like, not silly in the sense of funny, but silly in the, like, it doesn't really mean a lot. There's not a lot of stakes involved or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just hard for me to really get engaged with it. It's almost like, I don't know. But, whatever.
Crank slamming the classics.
Literary minute.
Yeah. Well, I wanted something, you know, I came off of the Doom books, and they're so heavy, like, you know, polysocial kind of, like, message movies, or books, you know, like.
Alan liked the Doom books.
Yeah, not Sons.
Oh, the Sons, yeah.
Yeah, I stopped at Frank's, like, the Chapter House Dune.
That's right.
But, you know, I got to the end of that, and I wanted something light, so I blazed through a bunch of short stories by R. Chetwin Hayes. And he's the guy that his short stories were what the movie Monster Club was based on.
Monster Club? The old actors?
The 80s anthology, yeah, with Cushing and Vincent Price in it.
Yeah, that's in my queue.
I mean, that's actually one of my favorite. It's, I'm not going to call it a great movie, but it's one of my favorite monster anthology movies.
Okay, I'll watch that next then.
Down with that.
I mean, part of it's I saw it when I was a kid, and there was one story in there about this thing. You'll get to it. It's like a kind of a betrayal story with a monster that, you know, has his comeuppance in the end, kind of thing.
Okay.
Or actually gets his revenge in the end, because the monster is sort of the good guy in the story. But like that story always stuck with me. It's got a really cool soundtrack too. It's this weird 80s, like UB40 was on the soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah. And I always thought it was neat because
they're old in it.
Yeah. Well, Vincent Price is playing an old vampire that tries to bite the neck of this writer who's played by it wasn't Cushing. It was who?
Larry the Cable Guy.
It was oh crap, I can't remember now.
Dennis Christopher.
No, it was another one of the classic monster.
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, you're really not.
Bela Lugosi.
No, Bela Lugosi's dead. He's dead. It was John Carradine. Sorry.
Oh yeah, John Carradine. Of course, it was John Carradine.
But so John Carradine's a writer, and the framing story is like he tries.
The other day we were trying to figure out if John Carradine had ever been in a good movie.
Well, I mean, define good. I don't know.
There's a lot of westerns he was in at the beginning, but he's never really been in a good movie.
I think he was in like some decent horror movies and stuff.
Hey, name one.
Well, I'd have to look him up. Hold on.
He's been in a lot of bad horror movies.
Oh, right. He was in Blood and Sand.
I've seen a lot of them in here.
Oh, and he was in The Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, that's... See, I think that he was coasting on that.
Probably. Sorry, I'm still looking up his...
I've seen some really shitty movies with his sons, too, in here, too.
God, I didn't realize...
Lightning Rope was definitely...
Dude, just in the 30s alone, he did 66 movies.
Yeah.
38 in the 40s, 27 in the 50s. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find movies I've seen. Like Blood of Dracula's Castle I saw, but he was just a butler in that. I never saw this one. Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
What?
I'm going to take a guess on how good that one is.
That was from 1966.
Yeah, that's good.
Granted, some of the movies I definitely know that he's been in, like the titles were better than the actual movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like Psycho a Go-Go. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? But, like Hillbillies in a Haunted House. I've seen that. Yeah, that's not so good. I guess I'm...
That's a comedy.
I guess?
No, it is a comedy. I've seen it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've seen it too. I don't know if it's... Is it really a comedy?
Well, it has sound effects in it.
Yeah.
Like boing.
Cartoon sound effects.
Yeah, cartoon sound effects.
Maybe they just don't... Oh, whatever. I don't know. Oh, yeah, he was in The Howling.
He's in The Howling?
Yeah, forgot about that.
Huh. I don't think I remember The Howling, then.
He's the old dude that's at the werewolf resort, you know?
This is the first one?
Man, I need to see The Howling because I don't remember a werewolf resort.
Well, after they find the werewolf, they track him down to this, like, some sort of one of those, like, new agey type of resorts that you go to. And they go there, and it turns out it's, like, all werewolves.
I don't remember this movie well enough.
All The Howling movies are about, like, werewolf societies.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Monster Club. So I always thought the framing device was neat because it's this vampire telling this horror writer about what things really are, like the different types of monsters and kind of the society of monsters.
Yeah, it's Interview with a Vampire.
But it all takes place in this underground nightclub called the Monster Club. And the framing parts are in the club, and Vincent Price is telling Carradine these stories. And then there's like live bands on stage. So they would cut to like live acts every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this fun 80s music.
Mm-hmm.
And the music always stuck with me too. Like the title track was called Monsters Rule OK. It's just this really upbeat kind of new wave thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not believing me at all.
I'm going to watch it, so yeah, I'm going to believe you as much as I can.
Okay. But anyway, I blazed through all those R. Chetwin Hayes stories.
And I fixed that three for you.
And then I wanted something else, and I was like, that's when I remembered the Little Women thing and started reading that, so now I'm doing that before I get into I don't know what else. I've never read, I saw Jim Terry mention Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and I've never read that. So I might read that, but I think that's probably pretty heavy and depressing.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm kind of trying to stock up on fluff before that.
Fluffer.
I don't need a fluffer, I just need some, you know, stuff.
Somebody fluff Crank, please.
Oh, I didn't mention, welcome to week 659 of the Crankcast.
Is that Crank?
That's Crank.
Hey, Crank.
Alan?
I didn't know that was you.
I knew that was you. Well, I didn't know it was you by your voice, but I knew it was you because Mike said it was you. So, yeah.
Enter your show, Crank.
I did enter the show.
Yeah, like 25 minutes in after you've already slammed Little Women for 20 minutes.
I didn't slam it, I just said I don't quite get it.
Oh, poor Little Women.
Oh, they're fine. They are used to overcoming adversity.
Good.
So.
Can't give them
that. Should we just dive into bad movies?
Is that what we're doing today?
You want to do that? Should we just do that?
Mm.
I got some bad movies.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of them. I don't know if I care to talk about them.
I watched an alright movie that had Jet Li and Jackie Chan in it.
Yeah, what is it called?
It's called Forbidden Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, Forbidden Kingdom. I've seen that.
Is that a Monkey King?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I love all the Monkey King ones.
Yeah, Jet Li plays a double
series
role.
Series coming out, isn't it?
There's an Australian TV series.
Yeah.
The one on Netflix. Yeah, I watched as much as I could.
You couldn't?
I got 6 or 7 episodes in.
It wasn't good.
It's super campy, kind of fun.
Well, it's called Monkey. I'd imagine it's kind of silly.
Dude, all those Monkey King ones are awesome.
I like the idea of the Monkey King just because he's a goof. But he's like a badass goof. He's like a better Deadpool.
I like the one with Dragon Ball.
It's called Dragon Ball?
Yeah, Dragon Ball is just the Monkey King. That's the monkeys.
Huh.
That's the exact same. That's all that thing is. He literally flies on a cloud just like him.
Huh.
I've never watched Dragon Ball. It's just their version of Monkey King.
I watched a... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just naming all the same things.
I watched a... I think it was an earlier mid-70s movie about these people that go diving for gold and then all turn on each other.
What's it called?
No Gold for a Dead Diver.
Oh, right. I thought you were talking about The Deep.
No. Although I did watch a movie called Encounters in the Deep about aliens.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the Bermuda Triangle, I'm not sure. It was kind of hard to keep track of what was actually going on in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
No Gold for a Dead Diver turned out to be surprisingly good. Like, I guess it's a crime story? I don't know. Like, it's just one of those moral stories where just people go bad. Yeah. Because of gold fever?
I got the gold fever.
You got the gold fever?
I do.
Good thing you live by the Gold Coast. Or no, Golden Mile, sorry.
On the Gold Coast.
Have you ever seen Beyond the Seventh Door?
Yes!
Okay, if you hadn't, I was going to recommend it, because it's not... It's a bad movie, but it's one of those bad movies that's insanely watchable.
With the Croatian guy in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's insanely watchable. Like,
he can't stop smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just won't stop smoking. And he's the worst person ever. And it's like, I was like, I don't think I want to watch a movie about this guy. And when he gets killed in the end, I'm like, oh, that's okay. All right.
The one with the briefcase, right?
It's the one with the house that has all the rooms in it. Yeah,
yeah, and the briefcase full of money at the end.
Yeah, essentially it's just two actors in the whole movie, like, for the most part. And neither one, it's kind of cool because neither one of them turns out to be very good.
Like, his name is Lazar. The actor's name is Lazar.
Lazar Rockwood.
Yeah, Lazar Rockwood. And he's still acting. And he also looks like a special effect now.
Yeah.
He's a creepy looking dude.
Well, he was weird looking then. Like, he sort of reminds me of Billy Drago in his face. But Billy, he makes Billy Drago look handsome.
Isn't he kind of Tommy
Wiseau
looking?
Sort of. Yeah. Oh, man, what a creepy look like.
But, yeah, it was just one of those strange things. I expected just to watch something terrible and turn it off.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be, like, just really easy to watch.
You know? Yeah.
And kind of entertaining at that. Like, it's weird. Not a good movie, but, entertaining. And then I followed that up with Evil Speak with Clint Howard.
Evil Speak. It's the dopeness.
Oh, I don't know about dopeness, but the fact that they used demonic pigs was pretty cool.
So hard.
And you know what? That's what's going to happen if somebody ever does anything to my dog. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to go berserko, start floating around with a sword.
Do you think that Ron Howard attended the premiere of Evil Speak?
He's
got to support his brother.
Do you think Ron Howard has seen Evil Speak?
Absolutely. Holy shit. If your brother was in a movie like that, I mean, I would have watched it.
Do you think Evil Speak had a premiere?
Yeah.
He says that about every shitty movie.
But I think shitty movies have premieres.
No, they don't.
Yeah, sometimes. The Room did. There you go.
Huh. Well, all right.
I think that John Carpenter was at the premiere of The Vineyard, James Hong's movie, and I think that he walked out of it. That's my thought.
He just likes to make up stories.
Well, that's fine.
About things that...
Look, you make a movie. You're Clint Howard. You're in this movie. You're, like, 19 or whatever when you made it. And
yeah, he was like in a punk band back then.
It was shot on film. It's a real movie with a budget. You don't think there was a premiere somewhere?
I don't know.
They had to have rented out a theater to show it. Or they didn't even rent it out. A theater showed it for the first time, and they invited people that worked on the movie.
Well, yeah, I'm sure like the people that worked on it came and saw it.
Yeah. And I wonder if Ron Howard, who was almost certainly invited, went in to the premiere of Evil Speak.
He definitely wasn't making... He wasn't directing movies then, at that point.
That's an interesting question. What was Ron Howard doing at the time of Evil Speak?
At Evil Speak time?
It was released in 82, so it was probably being filmed in 81.
Had he already done was there like early Driving One that he did?
Driving One?
Like a graffiti thing?
What
was that called?
Yeah, he was directing stuff.
Yeah.
Was Happy Days still on in
82? Maybe like Joni Loves Chachi.
Oh, okay.
There was something Happy Days related in 81.
But it wasn't like the Happy Days we know and love. Like,
I would love the oral history of Evil Speak from Clint Howard.
I read up about him a bunch back in
1977.
Was Clint in that? I bet he was. Has he been in everything Ron Howard's done?
He did Night Shift in 82.
Huh. Night Shift?
Yeah.
The one with Henry Winkler?
Yeah.
He directed that?
Yeah.
Oh. I knew there was a reason I liked that movie so much.
Is Clint Howard going to be in Solo?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've shown his character.
I'm gonna go see.
That was a thing to hold me back.
Yeah, I mean a little bit.
I'm in it.
You know how I know he's in it, Ryan?
Why?
Because I saw a picture of him at the premiere.
Really? See?
All right. Well, maybe there was a premiere for Evil Speak.
For Clint Howard having his movies have premieres.
I'm sure he's been in movies that have had premieres.
At some point, that movie was screened in the theater for the first time, and I'm almost certain that
That's pretty if you were involved, you would go, right?
It's like a little bar for premieres, but yeah, I think all movies have some sort of premiere.
Yeah, and like if it's in L.A. and you live in L.A. and you're an actor, you rent a tuxedo and you go.
What I'm saying is that in Ryan's world, all of them have red carpet premieres at like Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Yeah, probably.
Like big gala displays.
Absolutely, reporters, all the stars are out.
Yeah, I'm sure all the stars poured out for Evil Speak.
Yeah. Well, all the stars in the movie.
The bar.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure they had a premiere. It was like probably in a VFW hall or something. I mean,
Evil Speak doesn't even come up on Box Office Mojo.
What? It was banned in the UK. The Box Office Mojo somehow.
Why?
I don't know. It was a video nasty. It was like severely censored when it was finally released there.
He cut some people in half.
Yeah,
but that's
sure
not,
does.
That's
and
not.
Dog beat that woman in a bathtub.
Like, oh, the yeah, pigs.
Most of the action occurred in like the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there were like 2 killings before that, right?
The violence was pretty violent, though.
Yeah, but not. I've definitely seen worse.
And you have to look at Clint Howard's face a lot.
That's the worst part of that movie.
Yeah, that's a real violence.
That's the worst part of that
him
movie.
Him looking confused and sad through basically the whole movie.
That's the worst part of any.
That's pretty much what he looks like all the time. Yeah.
I felt so bad about the dog, though. It was
he
his gets, only friend.
He gets shit on so hard in that movie.
Hey, Cooper Dick!
That's how much everyone hates him.
You are on his side at the end.
Well, sure. I mean, all those jerks deserved it, right?
Yeah. That's why it's kind of an interesting one of those type of movies.
I just felt bad that he was forever in the clutches of Satan at the end, though.
Yeah, well,
so, did
know.
He take Richard Mall's place, then?
Well, see, that's the confusing part. Richard Mall?
Was it?
Richard Mall?
Is he in there?
From Night Court?
Yeah, he's Esteban.
That was Richard Mall.
Yeah, he's Esteban.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Frank said that like he was making it up, and he wasn't sure.
No, he's Esteban. Now, that's something that got me thinking, though. How did Richard Mall end up in like tons of like weird fantasy and horror shit, and then become like you know the goofy, likable guy on Night Court? Like,
well, you sound like that was a plum role. He made that popular. That was not expected to be. Bull wasn't supposed to be like America's sweetheart. He's supposed to be just a weird character on a sitcom.
Do you think that Clint Howard went to the premiere of Night Court?
Oh, most assuredly.
Yeah.
In his right. living room? Yeah, he did. He was there on Thursday night eating a Hot Pocket.
I don't think they had Hot Pockets then.
Why are we so technical today?
TV Guide gave Evil Speak a favorable review.
Nice.
Huh.
See? Evil Speak is remarkably engaging, imaginative, and well-crafted. Contains a strong performance from Howard.
Yeah.
Plus a deliciously over-the-top nasty turn by veteran character actor R.G. Armstrong.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
It's good. It is definitely worth watching if you like horror movies. If you don't like horror movies, do not watch it.
Yeah.
I guess
if you
most
don't
of,
like horror movies, there's no point.
Yeah, there's no point.
I guess most of my discontent with the movie is that the it's not paced very well. All the action takes place at the end.
No, it's not.
No,
there's so much shitty rich white bullying.
Yeah. In a foreign country too. Yeah. Aren't they on like some tropical island? It's a military school on a tropical island. School.
And he makes that model and then they just fucking destroy it.
Yeah.
It really makes bullying in Karate Kid look pretty lame.
That's what I think, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize. That preceded his role as Zuxia in Sword and the Sorcerer.
What?
Evil Speak came before Sword and the Sorcerer. I'm looking at Richard Mall's career.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Clint Howard was in Sword and Sorcerer. No. He was definitely a premiere for that. Then. He had a premiere.
Sword and the Sorcerer?
Yeah.
You know what? I bet that did have a premiere. I'm going to go with, yeah, that at a premiere.
I'd believe it.
There's nothing to lose in having a premiere. If you work so hard to make a movie and invest all that money, you you invest in renting a theater or whatever so it looks like a real movie.
There's embarrassment to be had.
Well, yeah, on some movies. But I think the people who made Evil Speak thought it was pretty good.
Well, it's not horrible, right? I mean,
it's not. No, it's not.
I mean, I hate to think that I sound like I'm saying it's like a terrible, terrible movie. I'm just I'm doubting the premiere.
Definitely one of the better movies I've seen out of all the crappy movies I've seen.
So, Crank, this whole conversation started because of the James Hong written and directed film called The Vineyard, and he basically just plays Lo Pan again from Big Trouble in China.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my question was, would John Carpenter, who uses James Hong in his films, would he go to the premiere? And if he was at the premiere, would he be pissed off because he realized James Hong was just stealing the character of Lo Pan? That's where the conversation started, and I think that John Carpenter would have gone to the premiere of James Hong's movie. That's it. That's the end of the conversation, I guess.
Okay. Hey, I just learned something I never knew.
What?
In Night Court, Bull Shannon's real first name is Nostradamus.
Wow.
Eat that, Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah. That's crazy. So anyway. Evil Speak. There we go. And then after that, I got really backed up on work, so I watched a whole bunch of like more modern trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I watched the new Baywatch with, you know, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Boy.
That's an incredibly, incredibly dumb movie, but he still makes it enjoyable.
Yeah.
He does do that to most movies.
Yeah. And then I watched The Legend of Bagger Vance, and
fuck you.
That movie bothered me, man.
It's a good movie.
The thing I like about that new Baywatch is that through the whole time, Zac Efron is like, they're making a joke about how that original series, there's no reason why any situation should have ever occurred.
Oh, yeah.
And Zac Efron's like, this is not our job. You should call the police.
Yeah.
and they're like, nope.
No, because this is what we do. This is how we roll. Like,
yeah.
Like, they just...
So that was the funniest part to me.
They justify it by justifying it, like, you know, without any good reason. Yeah, that was sort of weird. But, you know, I mean, I it's one of those movies that's intentionally dumb, so that can really, like, not pan out too well sometimes. Mm. But I still don't think it was very good, but I liked it because of him, so... But
you probably just described most of his movies.
Well, some of them are more enjoyable than others, I think. Like the remake of Return to Witch Mountain was pretty good.
Witch Mountain?
Yeah, I guess it was just Witch Mountain. Sorry. Whatever.
No, I just didn't know Witch Mountain.
Witch Mountain.
Yeah. Okay.
What were the names of the two movies that originally? Was it Escape and then Return, right?
Yeah.
It was from them being in an RV lot, that movie. It was Witch Mountain, and then That Mountain, and then, no, That Mountain.
And was it Jackie Earl Haley, one of the kids?
I don't remember it that well.
Was it a cuter kid? I remember thinking the girl looked like him.
Oh, it was Escape to Witch Mountain. Not yeah, from.
Escape to Witch Mountain.
But you're escaping to a mountain?
Yeah.
Well, there was like...
Well, that's where the thing is. That you can get.
Their ship.
Oh. Yeah, with aliens, right?
They were aliens, yes.
And then...
They were little Aryan child aliens.
Oh, there were three of them. It was Escape to Witch Mountain, Return from Witch Mountain, and then Beyond Witch Mountain.
I've never heard of Beyond Witch Mountain.
Can't we just get Beyond Witch Mountain?
I saw both of those in the theater as a child at a matinee.
I remember seeing the first two on TV. Like, they were Disney movies, weren't they?
Yes.
Donald Pleasance plays every character in it.
Really?
Also, they're all puppets.
Do you think Donald Pleasance's mom went to the premiere?
Eddie
Donald
Albert.
Pleasance.
Yes.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Does Donald Pleasance have a mother?
What?
Does Donald Pleasance have a mother?
Donald Pleasance was grown in a lab.
I think he might have been. I remarked recently that I think he's been in more movies than any other actor that I've seen. Like, that I mean, not that he holds a record for most movies, but like the movies I watch.
Yeah.
I think he's probably holds the lead for like being in all of them, you know?
That's pretty depressing.
Yeah, that's rough.
Oh, I don't know.
Because if Donald Pleasance is in your movie, it's not going to be good.
But, all right, so
oh, come
what
on.
Are good Donald Pleasance movies? Halloween, Puma Man.
come
he
on.
He was in Argento movie that I don't remember liking that much anyways.
Don't diss the dead.
Well, The Great Escape.
The Great Escape, there you go.
THX 1138.
He was, like, really, like, sad in The Great Escape. Wasn't he, like, going blind? Right?
He was the forger?
He was the forger that's going blind?
Yeah.
And he's, like, pretending that he can see.
There was a restaurant in Nashville called the Steak Escape.
So were you trying to get away from the steak?
I don't know. I just remember that whenever anybody says The Great Escape.
Escape to Steak Mountain.
Escape to Steak Mountain.
It's a vampire flick.
And the logo for the Steak Escape was a balloon. Like, you know.
Huh.
The logo should have been hang on, come here and look at this.
He's in a good movie called
Cold Sex. Before.
Cold Sex, really good.
Watching Piracy, look where this ball ends up.
Fantastic
never
Voyage.
Seen this before.
Fantastic Voyage? He's in that?
Yeah, what's going on?
Watch.
Did we say Escape from New York? I forgot, he was the president in that.
Almost a home run.
Yeah, he was the president in
that. I mean, that was a good movie.
Come on.
He was in the Monster Club. That was a good movie.
He's in that?
Yeah.
I guess I won't watch that then.
Oh, come on.
Never seen this before.
Phenomena, was that the Argento movie you were
thinking? Oh, no.
That's an Argento, yeah.
Right between the pads.
I've never seen it like that. I've seen it
and, I don't know, whatever. But it just seems like he pops up in all over the place. He was in like a bunch of Italian stuff, too, wasn't he?
Yes. Because there's no yellow line, is there?
Yeah, there's no yellow line.
Yeah, he was in a lot of Italian movies. Wow.
I mean,
he was like one of those Van Cleef type actors that was like all over the Italian cinema.
Yeah, or John Huston. He was in a lot of Italian movies.
Yeah.
Never seen that.
Not a shitty sci-fi Italian horror movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You
going to watch it?
But yeah, so like in real quick succession, I watched like Baywatch, Legend of Bagger Vance, Click, a Brittany Murphy movie called Uptown Girls. And then I watched 40 Days and 40 Nights, which I remember watching at your house one time for some reason.
You can use my account if you want.
Why are you watching all of these movies?
I love 40 Days.
Well, I wanted something.
Unfortunately, doesn't.
I don't know. I'm not really sure why. Because then I watched a Matthew Perry movie, and then I watched both Brady movies.
Yeah, you watched those.
And then I capped all that off late in the morning with My Mom's a Werewolf. So,
watch it happen.
Right. Yep.
40 Days Climax is just so beautifully, you know, start of 2000s and the 90s. It's just this like such a beautiful time.
We call those the Shannon Sossman years.
Ah, Shannon Sossman.
Well, it's like right in the middle of the first tech like web boom. In San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, because
it's like back when like eBay started and stuff.
40 Days, 40 Nights?
Yeah.
When people were still like praising the fact that, you know, somebody was in a new startup.com.
No, it's 40 Days of Night. That's a totally different movie. Oh, I wish 40 Days and 40 Nights had fucking vampires in it.
Nope,
there's not. Oh, yes.
There's a movie for that.
What?
Yeah,
this is the horniest vampire I've ever seen.
That's just Dracula, dude.
No, no, that's true.
So good.
There's that scene where he flies over all the green. Oh, that's real.
Yeah, that actually happens.
What?
There's a scene where he's dreaming about boobs, and there's like CGI boobs.
Yeah,
really?
Oh, yeah. Because he's like hallucinating. He's on his last day of his abstinence or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It's just a movie that leaves you kind of feeling nothing at the end of it, though. Except maybe a little mildly, like, I don't know, frustrated, I guess. Like, what was the point of all that?
He found love, dude.
But he would have...
And a laundromat.
That's just... it. And then the whole subtext of the girls in the office wanting to have sex with him to take back the power. And, like...
Well, no, they wanted to win the bet.
Well, that too, but, like...
They want all the money.
The movie poster is kind of awesome. Like, basically, it's the big boner of text out of his crotch.
Do you think that Ben Templesmith attended the premiere of 4 Days and 40 Nights?
Why would he do that?
Some intern mistakenly invited him.
Now,
but I never seen this movie.
Now, 40 Days and 40 Nights I could believe had a premiere.
Boners, though. That's going to sound great.
Wait. Is there actually vampires in this movie?
No!
I didn't think so. This is fun.
Yeah.
Sex and orgasm.
I think I was going through, I wanted to watch a bunch of movies from the same year. Maybe that's part of the reason. Because, you know, like I said, I watched Click, 40 Days and 40 Nights, a movie called Serving Sarah that had Matthew Perry and Elizabeth Hurley in it. And I think Legend of Bagger Vance was from that time period, too.
So did you watch that movie?
I don't. It had Will Smith in it. That's the only. Okay. I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't know that was a thing that got you to see movies.
I will generally watch Will Smith movies, sure.
You're the last human.
But, like, I didn't.
You're the last human.
I knew it had something vaguely to do with golf, and that was about it, you know?
Vaguely? That's all it's about.
I'm saying before I watched it, I knew it had something to do with golf.
Yes.
And it had Will Smith in it. I'm like, okay.
It's a magical caddy. He's a magic caddy.
Really?
Yeah.
At a time of racism.
Is he the reason that they coined the term Magic Negro for movie stuff?
That's part of it. Yeah, that's definitely part of it.
It's him and, what's his name, the president guy. President guy?
Obama?
Morgan Freeman? President guy, I think we should go to Obama first. Who
is actually president.
Because, I mean, literally, he just pops in out of nowhere. Is he supposed to be God? I didn't understand this movie very much.
He's definitely not of this earth.
Well, because he's still the same
when
age.
When your character just disappears, yeah.
Well, he's still the same age, and he picks up the dying guy at the end of the movie. Spoilers, mm-hmm. Sorry. But
God, no, I never watch it.
But like, I didn't really understand. He just comes in out of nowhere and then disappears again without even seeing what happens. Like, there was no like character development for Will Smith at all in this movie. There was nothing. You know, he was there to provide.
Like, he's a mystical figure.
He was a birthday present.
Oh wow!
I mean, he was Gandalf, more or less. You know.
He was he's the Gandalf. He's golf Gandalf.
Yes, Gandalf.
They never explained Gandalf's powers either, so it kind of works.
Yeah.
You shall not make this putt.
You shall not putt.
So yeah, I don't know. It was a weird movie though. I wasn't expecting to not like it that much. And
I'm sorry.
I mean, I kind of figured because golf is one of the dullest games to watch. You know, like how do you make golf exciting?
It's on TV a lot. Yeah,
10 Cups, a great golf movie.
I've never.
Happy Gilmore.
I've never played golf, so I don't know. Like, I guess it's fun, right? Enough people do it.
I don't know. I can't because I have a pact with my friend Ron that if one of us golfs, the other has to murder.
Oh, okay. Does Will Smith show up to take you?
Never.
Does Will Smith show up to take you to heaven at the end of that?
Yeah, he comes and he takes you to heaven. He's like, yep.
Okay.
It's time to go, Mike.
He throws you like Carl. What's his name on...
Carl Weathers?
Carl Weathers. No, his stand on Fresh Prince.
Oh, Judge Carl Banks?
Yeah, Banks just throws you into heaven.
Hello.
James Avery. Better.
Also, in the movie I was watching last night, Fist of the North Star.
Oh, you're on
there. That sounds way cooler than it was, right?
Fist of the North Star?
Wait, did you? Which one were you, what were you watching?
Is it the Chinese one?
It's Chinese.
Okay. And it's has many different heavily edited versions.
Just because it's the dude from Alpha Flight.
It's a crazy black movie where heads explode all the time.
What? That sounds good.
There's a lot of
Clint Howard?
Smaller punching huge monstrous people, and huge monstrous people laugh, and then the smaller person says, "You're already dead." And then the big person says, "What are you talking about?" And then the big person's head explodes. That's pretty great.
He uses your pressure points.
Yeah. Mm. He strikes you very gently, and then your head explodes.
It's Bruce Lee meets Mad Max.
Yeah. It's something else.
I get on board something like that.
Have any of you ever seen... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, Christopher.
Oh, I was wondering if any of you have ever seen the live-action Yamato stuff. Like
the what?
The live-action Yamato stuff, the Star Blazers?
No.
I was wondering if it was any good.
Is this the cast?
I've seen the live-action cast right now.
What?
The live-action what?
Yeah. You're just now asking that?
Look, it confuses me all the time, too. I'm just like, oh, all of a sudden we're recording? Okay.
Is this a show? Is this what you're doing?
This is the first time I've been on it.
You've probably been on a couple times.
Oh.
Also, there's never any introduction about who anyone is, so I think you'll be fine.
I'm not with you.
So I have to sign a waiver?
Well, see, okay, that's on mic, because most of the time I don't know who's there. I can recognize some voices I don't know. Like, Ryan, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Who do you think is in the room?
I've done a lot of talking today.
No, I'm kidding. I knew Ryan was there, and I know Sean's there, and I know Mike's there, and now I know Alan's there.
Addison is here, and Tim is relaxing reading comics, but he is here.
Hey, good for Tim. He reads comics?
Yeah, it's part of his job.
Yeah, but so many of us that work in comics don't actually read comics.
That's kind of part of his job.
It is part of his job. I just work on things with no continuity.
He has to
know what's going on.
I don't know if he wants to.
Huh. Well, good for him anyway.
Every week I tell myself I'm going to go walk to the comic shop and see what's in there. Every week I don't. It's comic book day. Yeah.
Today is comic book day.
That is the day that we recorded this wonderful little show.
Oh, no need to be hurtful.
I'm not.
This wonderful little show. Bless your heart.
What, you think it's a big show?
No.
There you go.
The big show.
Mike's a big show.
We can make it bigger. We can add sound effects and intros and outros.
We used to have that.
Yeah. It wasn't worth the return on investment. Time-wise. We used to actually have people on the show that weren't normally on the show, too.
Guests, you mean?
Yes.
Only there are
words. It's the longest way to say guests.
Well, I like to think of them as extended family.
Mm-hmm.
Although they probably wouldn't want me to think of them that way.
Can I subscribe on iTunes?
You can.
Don't.
We have an RSS feed and everything.
You should start running an Airbnb at your house and then start having the people who come have to be on the show. That's required.
That's what this is.
This is your, elaborate trap. That's great. What a good trap.
Airbnb.
That's actually an interesting idea. You just have a Airbnb, and they show up, and you just got your recording equipment out.
I bet you'd meet some interesting people.
It's the Honey Podcast.
That was definitely not the Viper.
That sounded like a muscle car.
Like a muscle car. Atrophy, horribly.
What's this logo you guys use for your Craigcast logo? And like, does somebody have dreadlocks?
I don't look, dude. We made that like how long ago?
2005.
Yeah.
With a goatee,
never change.
I used to have a goatee.
That's been the exact same, yeah. Since we started in 2005, that's been the exact same everything.
That's how long Craigcast has been going.
Yes.
Oh my god.
It's the longest running comics podcast.
No,
kind of. Yes.
That's not true. We're balloons longer.
Oh yeah, we're balloons been around.
Comic geek speak.
Word Balloon wasn't as a podcast though. It was like a pay thing for a while. But I guess that yeah, it's still yeah.
iFanboy still around, right?
Yeah, iFanboy.
They preceded us by a couple of years.
Started listening to Crankcast the year I graduated high school.
Wow.
You did not.
No, I could have. If I had known it was a thing.
I was like, that's weird.
I could have had Crankcast be part of my entire adult life.
Wow.
You blew it.
I blew it. I'm sad I missed out on that opportunity.
It's okay. I've only been on it for like the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I just mean it could have shaped.
If you were listening to it just for me.
If I had been listening to it, it could have shaped my entire...
So you're better off.
I don't advocate that.
What type of
person?
You
might have
to
meet
us.
Yeah.
There are people we should catch up with, though. Like, we ought to have a, you know, especially since he's writing comics again, we ought to have McKeever back on at some point.
Oh, yeah. He wouldn't mind it.
And, you know, we really ought to get...
He's the copy editor on Little Donnie.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He corrects all my grammar.
Good. You needed somebody. And we ought to get in touch with Tabor again. Just see how he's doing. You know, he was a regular part of the show for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Marshall. Marshall, we should talk to him.
Marshall is doing good.
Is he?
I'd like to catch up with him, too. He sent me a text on my birthday.
Aw.
That's nice.
Well, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's still working with Sunder on a production company.
Yeah, like, he's like making video game art now.
Yeah, and he's all over the place on those.
He's back in like the product, like a project manager game, and I would think that he wouldn't want to do that, but
maybe
he likes it.
He's done it several different places, so yeah. And I noticed I was in that Shock anthology. I noticed he was all over the place with Aftershock, man. Like
mm-hmm.
he does a big bulk of their work. Lettering work, I mean, like, you know, as opposed to what we were talking about with project management, that's a different thing. But yeah, so we ought to catch up with people. We should have, like maybe a couple of months of catch-up stuff. Talk to people we haven't talked to in a while. Who else haven't we talked to in a while? That was pretty much it, really, right? Those three people. I can't think. I don't know. Anyway. So there's that.
You did it.
That happened. How was your birthday, Mike?
It was fine. I was in Milwaukee.
Yeah? How about the Pugfest?
It was good. It wasn't as busy as it has been in years past.
Yeah.
But it was still, you know, way busier than you would expect a... event dedicated exclusively to pugs. So much so that they're making it a 2-year show a 2-year show next year. That may actually be too much for me.
Too much pug?
2 days?
Who are
are you?
2 days is a lot of freaking days.
Just when you think you know someone.
Too much pug.
Yeah, I have a table.
Huh.
I mean, as a business thing, I do as well there as I do at C2E2. So, I mean, it's worth going to. It's just...
Wait, you do as well there in one day as you do at all of C2E2?
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't you want to?
Holy shit, yeah. No kidding.
But it's a different vibe, guys. There's only so much of it I can do.
Well, yeah. Plus, I guess, you know, if it's over 2 days, that would probably break up the attendance, right? I mean, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think while, if you're a small show that's being successful, the worst thing you can do is become a two-day show. Because unless you are, like, turning people away because of fire hazard kind of stuff and it's just becoming a problem, you're going to lose that audience because they're... It's going to be spread out over 2 days. It's going to look like less.
Well, and I would think from an exhibitor standpoint, that'd be increasing your cost to go while not really upping the attendance, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You'd have to stay there 2 days and buy a table for 2 days. And I guess from the convention standpoint, they're making more money off of exhibitors that way. But then they also have the cost of having to have it for both days. I don't know how that works
Maybe
out.
Maybe I'll try it, but I remember this year I was like, it was on my birthday, and I was like, you know what? I think because I've been busy with the projects and stuff, and I was a little stressed out. I was like, the best birthday present would be if I could just sit at home right now.
Your dad.
Right.
But I still had fun.
At least you got to be surrounded by like animals you like.
Yep. So somebody brought a goat, and I was like, that's not a pug.
I like that, though.
Are you goat shaming?
It's like a palate cleanser.
It was like a palate cleanser. And it wasn't like some of these people. Like, some of these people have brought up dogs to me that are, like, up to my knee. And I'm like, well, what kind of dog is that? He's like, it's a pug. I'm like, no, it's not. And then you get in these conversations with these people, and you can tell at a certain point that if you say something else, they're going to start arguing with you. Mm. And I'm just like, okay, sure, it's a pug.
I'm really good at walking away from conversations. So
I'm like, nope.
Arguments.
Nope.
See you later.
That's where you need to start up the no pug blog. The no pug again? No pug area? Yeah. Nope. Yeah, whatever, you know. Not a pug. This is not a pug blog. Although, you know, you don't have to shame the owners because they don't know that their dog's not a pug.
I do.
Okay, you do.
They don't seem to know.
It's like a hot or not thing.
Yeah.
Pug, no pug.
See if you can spot the examples. Mm-hmm. This is not a pug.
Turn into a dating site.
It's just like a giant Greg Bernard or something, you know? Like,
everything on the internet becomes a dating site, isn't it? I mean...
Until Congress shuts it down.
Dating sites are just the internet?
No, they made it on Craigslist, so you can't do hookups or meet people because there's the potential of Craigslist being liable if something bad happens.
Mm.
Well, what about Craigslist killer? Were they liable for that? People died because of Craigslist.
I think now it would be by act of Congress.
What did Congress do? Didn't Craigslist just shut it down so they wouldn't be liable?
Yeah, like the personal part of it, like, you know, like misconnections, everything.
Right, but I mean, like Congress didn't make them shut it down, did they? Didn't Craigslist just shut it down?
And then they decided it wasn't worth the potential litigation, I guess, or jail time.
I would think that there was always a potential for them to get sued for that because they were providing the forum for the connection, you know? Like,
I heard it's caused a lot of problems for couples looking for a third.
I've heard.
I read an article.
For a friend.
Like,
But I mean, that's what like Tinders and stuff's for, right? I've never used Tinder, so I really don't have a conception of what it actually is. I've seen it in reference enough to hooking up that I thought that that was what it was for. But
yeah,
poor Craigslist. People have lost their voice there. Yeah.
Who is it that you are beefing with? Oh, that's eBay.
I feel bad for the Craigslist killer. It's hard to kill now.
It is hard to be harder.
He's become the classified
killer. I think those have existed for a very long time. Classified killers.
Yeah. It's like the CIA, right?
But then you get those, like, those sweet stories about people like, you know, passing each other on the subway and then finding each other because of the misconnection.
Does anybody ever do that?
Love misconnection.
It's got to exist. Yes.
People have met. You think people have?
I know people who have connected
at premieres.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I tried.
Really?
I've definitely like filled one of those out drunkenly at 3 in the morning after the bars.
I know. I saw yours, but I felt weird responding to it.
He'll be back in the studio.
I saw you at the studio. You were wearing a hoodie and glasses.
Huh. Meet me at the premiere.
Meet me at the premiere of Clint Howard's newest movie.
You were talking about bad movies having world premieres, and I thought you were completely correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mike, do we have an email?
I don't know.
Well, why don't you check that? While I further peruse the works of Donald Pleasance.
No, we don't have any email. We have an email from Donald Pleasance.
Really?
The ghost of Donald Pleasance.
Man.
Pumaman.
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 Pumaman?
Pumaman.
That's a instant cup of noodles, isn't it? Like,
your Mammon G. Krebs.
Huh. Well, that's strange. No email after we begged so prettily.
Did we?
Well, I don't know about prettily, but
we had email last week.
Last year,
why
too.
Why am I messing up my times?
I don't know. Year, a week, whatever. All right, so you got a thing in Miami?
No, Orlando.
Orlando. That was me prompting you to talk about it.
Oh, I'm going to MegaCon. Never been to MegaCon. I hear it's really big.
It's mega.
Yeah, it's the MegaCon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to it. It starts tomorrow.
On a Thursday?
Like, I get off the plane and then go there.
So, is it San Diego sized?
It's really big. Let me look.
Because, I mean, that's... San Diego still goes from, like, Thursday to Sunday, right?
Wednesday night?
It's one of those shows that is everything at it, you know? So it's, like...
That's definitely a mega con.
Yeah.
What... Is San Diego still the biggest?
Yeah.
What's the next? Like C2E2 or
New York?
Yeah, I think
for US shows.
New York is bigger than San Diego.
I don't know.
More attendance.
Hey,
wasn't the news that like they had like recorded higher attendance, but the way they recorded it was very iffy.
I'm in juking terms the stats.
Of reliable numbers.
That could very well be juking the stats.
No third party verifications. So I never really thought about it before. How do U.S. shows stack up attendance-wise against like European shows? Are they as big in Europe? Are they bigger in Europe?
There's that one. The
there's
Johnny
some
show
that are bigger.
Famous.
Yeah.
The Spanish for that.
Luca is bigger. Luca. France show is bigger.
Thank you, Len.
Maybe that was bigger.
Is that what's that French one? La.
Is what they said.
Oh, okay.
Something.
Um,
So
I can't find a size.
Okay, so you're gonna be at MegaCon from Thursday to Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else in the studio going?
No.
Thought I was, but I'm not.
Okay. Well, have a good time. What's your table number?
I don't know.
Okay. Just look for Mike Norton. He's got a pug banner.
There, you know, everybody's going to come up to me and say, I didn't know you were here anyway, because they always do that at every show.
Hey, I didn't know you were here.
I could advertise it. I could sell T-shirts with the date on it, and people would still come up to me at the show and say that.
But you'd sell a ton of those.
Are you still working in comics?
No, I think they used to do that to Tim.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore, but...
Oh, I saw the listing. It was a listing for your Lil Donnie books out, right?
Oh, yeah, that's out.
Yeah.
That will be August 22nd, I think.
So that's in previews now?
Yeah, it will be in the next previews.
Oh, okay.
All the solicitations are coming out right now.
Gotcha.
Also, there will be announcements for new projects coming in the next couple of weeks.
Look at that. This is the year of Norton.
That's... year of lots of people.
Summer of Norton. All right, the week of Norton.
A couple of weeks in Norton.
I'm actually just excited that Clint Howard's going to be in a Star Wars movie. So I think it's really the week of Clint Howard.
It is the week of Clint. It, yeah.
Do we need to start up a Clint Howard week?
Another
movable celebration?
Look, Clint gets a lot more credit than Chris Makepeace. So I don't know why you're trying to get him to horn it. There are people that don't know who Chris Makepeace is.
I have no idea who this person is.
Neither do I.
You keep talking about him, and I keep getting angry.
I didn't start this.
But you tried to fight it.
Crank? Yeah, I did try to fight it. But Crank is the Makepeace in here.
Yeah, man. Make peace, not war. Yeah, you're right. Clint doesn't need to be proselytized.
Chris Makepeace isn't in a Star Wars movie, is all I'm saying.
But he should be.
Huh. He could have been Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
He would have been a good Luke Skywalker.
Can you tell me what this man is?
Look him up!
Hey, you've got the internet, dude.
You guys are dying to talk about this person.
I am not dying to talk about him. I have Stockholm Syndrome because of Crank. It's because I have to hear about him every year.
It's coming up.
It's not coming up.
It is coming up. Chris Makepeace Day week.
It's like months away.
Like what? Next month?
It's in July, isn't it?
Oh, okay, July. I don't know. It's the week of San Diego.
Don't ask me to remember it. I can't even remember your birthday.
I know. You remind me of that every year.
It was sad, I know.
It's pretty embarrassing, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I felt bad this year, because I was like, come on, I was trying to remember it this year.
My birthday hasn't happened this year.
I know, but last year then.
Okay.
When's your birthday, Frank?
November,
right? Yeah.
I'm a Scorpio.
To be fair, is it 4th?
5th.
Remember the 5th of November.
Well, I remember.
To be fair, he was very cagey about it for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I used to leave town on my birthday.
Yeah, I know people that hate their birthday. I just think it's
the one day. That was a thing in my 30s. I don't know what it was. But yeah, I would leave town on my birthday. I didn't want anybody to do anything about it.
Well, I'm like that too, but
the same way.
So,
I like to think people who say that secretly just want people to throw them a surprise party.
No, I don't. But I you can buy me a present.
Yeah, I'll take a present. I don't want a party.
What? No parties, presents.
Yeah, presents are fine. Parties now.
I want. Delta MK4 Mega Fighter.
Okay.
I'd settle for a good bottle of liquor myself, but, you know.
I've got that's what Sean got me. Sean got me. I don't know. Let me read the size of this. What does it say?
Throw the party because then people fill up with bottles of liquor.
1.75 liters.
Is that one of those? Of what?
It's almost a 2 liter of bourbon.
Wow. Is that one of those giant, like, generic grocery store jugs of bourbon?
No, Bullet's.
Oh, okay, Bullet. I didn't.
Jamie Reed's favorite brand.
I didn't hear
Costco size.
Yeah, I didn't hear the name. I thought it was because you know you can go to the grocery store and buy those giant like water jug like kind of size of like diluted bourbon or whatever. It's like rot gut cheap, terrible stuff.
Those are usually not in glass. Those are usually
That's what I'm saying. They're in like those big plastic water bottles.
Yeah. The giant ones at Costco are actually all pretty solid.
Yeah, they're just like comically large versions of the normal bottles of name brand.
Well, it's Costco brand, but they get all of their liquor from normal name
brands. Someone told me that the Kirkland brand bourbon was Four Roses, just rebottled.
Yeah, maybe.
I know their scotch is actually pretty good.
I mean, it's all they had at my wedding, so.
Okay.
Look at that. Dropping the bourbon knowledge. All right. So, anybody else got any other cons this weekend? No?
What?
No.
Cons.
Oh. I'm watching Mike's Pugs.
Right on. Oh, we'll see. that would explain why you're in town. Okay.
We're having a super secret Battle Pug Summit that you weren't invited to.
That would be any Battle Pug Summit, Mike.
I tell you that stuff.
All right, then. In that case, I'm looking at what's in stores today. So I'm just scrolling down the list. Anything that looks interesting, I'm going to start talking about.
No,
mostly this is a focus on what we've got in stores.
Curse Words 14 was last week, but I wasn't here to say that.
He brought it up.
I did mention. Oh, that reminds me. I have to say an addendum or a correction to something I was talking about last week. I think. What? Yeah, Ballad of Sang number 3. I said I didn't know who the colorist was, and I thought maybe it was the artist, but it's not. And I'm going to mangle this name because I never heard it pronounced out loud. But the colorist is actually named Shari Chankama.
Wow.
So I don't know, like I said, I haven't heard that name pronounced out loud, so I probably butchered it, but that is the colorist for Ballad of Sang. I just wanted to correct myself because I'm really bad about remembering names in general anyway, but also a lot of these books, especially if I'm not doing the final output of the pages, like I don't see people's names or anything, so I don't know who's on it.
Yeah.
Did you talk about Damage last week? I colored that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, there you go. There's a correction.
Damage. Is that something any of the rest of us know? What? Did we work on it?
He did.
No,
I know, but I'm saying, is that something I would have? Never mind.
Yeah.
No.
No, you would.
God damn it. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know.
Boo.
I guess just what I'm working on.
Okay.
No, not yet.
No, I mean, feel free to shout out whatever you're working on, because you're here, and you're on the show right now.
You can't talk about it yet.
Oh.
I can?
No.
Oh, no, not that stuff.
Your stuff. Yeah, sure. No, don't say anything about what you work on. No.
I worked on the Wonder Woman Annual, number 2.
Yeah!
Yay!
I don't know what that
That's the one with Mark Lamming, right?
I think so. Yeah. I'd have to bring up the script.
He's good.
Sometimes...
Oh, he did the painted stuff, right?
I don't think he paints.
Oh, Tim's got a Hellblazer in stores today.
Yep.
Number 22.
With his dirty cover.
Is Tim enjoying working on covers and stuff again? Seemed like he wasn't drawing very much for a little while there.
We're trying to make him draw a whole book.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's a
battle.
I just figure, you know, it'd be refreshing after not doing it as much. Because, I mean, he probably got pretty burned out. He used to have a really high output for a long time.
Yeah. He's the longest running G.I. Joe artist.
Oh, I mean, at the same time, wasn't he working on, like, Dragonlance or something, too? Like
something like that.
Nobody cares if I draw. Usually. Just in general.
We do.
I know, but that's that. And I appreciate it.
I know. Sean hates it. Sean could care less.
He'd prefer you not.
Bring back Love Bunny.
Hi, Joke.
I found a display poster we used at a con for Love Bunny, the Love Bunny Savage Dragon crossover.
One of my favorite things Tim ever drew was his Halloween book.
Like Halloween, the movie series?
Like I say, reports, like all the ones I have that lost money are like any of the fun stuff. Love Bunny and my extra collection book, they all lost money.
Oh.
Somebody posted a / cosplay the other day for Goth Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my. That's pretty cool.
It was Alan.
Is Wonder Woman a weekly book?
I don't know.
It seems like every week I'm saying, oh, and there's a Jenny Frison cover for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she's outputting quite a lot. But
she's doing X-Men covers now.
Oh, really? That's cool.
X-Men Red covers.
Who's on that team?
She replaced Travis Cherry.
So, yeah, but there is a Wonder Woman 47. There's a Jenny Frison cover in stores today. So.
Great.
Keep scrolling. Oh, Kyle Strom's got a pumpkin head in stores. He's not in the studio, but he's related by working and knowing.
Does he have a comic in stores as well?
No.
Just a pumpkin head?
Yeah, it's just a pumpkin head that he's got in stores. Yeah. That's all. Just a pumpkin head.
If you had if you made up an alien and she has a bird skull for a head, would you just give her regular human arms and legs, or would she have like long fingernails or no fingernails, or would she be completely alien or just look like a humanoid?
Make her arms and legs really skinny,
like talons.
You gotta watch BoJack Horseman to figure this stuff out for you. Just use that as your reference point.
She's an alien.
Well, not human.
And it's a bird head?
I just gave her a bird skull for just head.
Spider body.
Gorilla arms.
Gorilla arms?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Just that weird... Great
mantis arms.
That weird spider person that I showed you?
I mean, she's got a hold of sword and stuff.
Yeah, gorillas.
What about, like, elbows that bend the wrong way?
That's a good idea, too.
Or double jointed, like those goat legs, but for arms.
Goat legs for arms.
With Nightcrawler hands.
One arm normal, one arm cybernetic, with like the striping, or to show metal arms.
The Colossus arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she affected by the techno-organic virus?
Yeah. So not anything that like looks functional or has weapons built into it, but just concentric
arms. Little octopus arms.
And,
pig body.
Pig body?
Take all these ideas and put them together. See what works.
Yeah, make it like those that toy from when we were kids where you had the plates that you could mix and match monster bits.
Yeah.
I think there's a character in Quantum and Woody like that.
A mix and match robot monster bit?
Tentacle, had an extra head. I think it was like Tesla's head in the back of his neck.
Make her have worms for fingers.
You guys aren't helping at all.
I think we're throwing a lot of good stuff at you.
What if it's just Earthworm Jim, but with that head?
Or static. It's just like static, TV static.
Yeah, if she's an alien, what if she's just like a bird head in a spacesuit?
I've stopped listening to all of
like
you.
Earthworm Jim.
They're constantly on fire.
I have stopped listening to all of you.
We're both. Fire ice.
Flaming ice.
Or what if she's like that... I saw you post it the other day, Sean, where that decoy spider, where the spider was... The head was a butt.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, where they makes, like, decoys in its web?
No, I'll try to find it.
I don't want to see it.
like a cartoon drawing.
Oh, I don't like spiders.
It's a spider that hides itself as a cute little girl, but like the butt's the face.
Oh, isn't that like a Japanese demon?
I guess. So
I feel like
that's her.
Uh huh.
But what really it is that.
Oh, I don't like to look at that either.
It's just, it's such a weird, like, when you figure out, like, what it, yeah, it's strange.
Oh, the legs are, like, folded up and everything, and the arms?
Freaking me out. And, my lights get cool.
And, like, if the real head's in the skirt, how does it see to walk around?
I don't know.
It's just so strange. Like,
well, you can see its head sticking out between the legs.
Can you? I didn't, but.
Yeah, in the drawing, there's, like, a little peek, peekaboo.
Oh. Huh. So, yeah, there's that.
It's not right.
It makes you think. Huh?
How's it?
It makes you think, yeah. So, okay, I guess that's it for the new comic stuff this week. Didn't really... I don't have anything in stores this week. I'm a little disappointed.
I am, too. You should rethink what you've done wrong.
I should. I've done so many things wrong, though, Mike.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So I need to... All right. Let me run something by you and see what you think about this.
No.
What?
I don't like it. I don't want you to do it.
Yes. Why? You don't even know what it is.
What?
Okay. So in brief, right? I've let my hair grow out again, and it's like a little past shoulder length and all that jazz. But I've noticed that I'm starting to follow in my family's pattern of, like, you know, balding at the crown. So I'm trying to decide if I should just, like, embrace Gallagher or go, like, full-on Picard.
Embrace Gallagher?
Well, those are two extremes.
Are you going to do, like, a Michael Bolton or something?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Should I keep the long hair despite the fact that I'm balding him back or starting to bald him back?
No. No, that's never a good look.
Or should I just go full-on Picard and, like, you know, embrace the bald top with the shaved sides and stuff, you know?
Make it so.
Because, I mean, you know, is there really any
that
point?
That only works for the guy in the raid, and that's because he'll kick your ass if you say anything.
So, all right. Survey says I should probably just go ahead and chop it all off, right?
But how far along are you?
It's not. He's probably just...
No, I don't look in, you know, because it's behind me, so I don't see it much. But I happened to look at it because I was trying to find... I got bit by bugs in the back of my neck yesterday, and I was trying to find the bug bites. And I happened to hold the mirror up, and I saw the back of my head, and I'm like, oh, shit, I can see skin in like, a very decent-sized patch, you know?
What if the bugs just bit your hair off?
Oh, boy.
Do mosquitoes bite hair off?
Yeah. Maybe yours do.
So last night,
they're really hungry.
Last night I was watching that Fist of the North Star, and when he did a pressure point thing on his sort of half-brother,
uh-huh.
It made his hair shoot off, so maybe someone pressure pointed you.
Somebody punched your hair off, dude.
Yeah, a mosquito punched you right in the hair.
Just press it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, people.
This is kind of science.
Huh.
It happened in Scott Pilgrim, but it was just hair color.
Kenshiro came and found you in your sleep.
Uh-huh. He's like, fuck this guy. He doesn't have any comics out this week.
Is that his first last name? Kenshiro?
That's his full name. It's just his first name. It's Kenshiro.
Yeah, they don't have whole, like, first and last names in that kind.
Yes, they do.
And your hair got knocked off.
So, that seems highly improbable.
Yeah, I just don't know what you're doing.
It's plausible.
All right, so...
Bottom line, you should... shave everything.
Okay.
Everything.
But should I do the Picard where I still have, like, the short hair around the sides and back?
Like, he doesn't do that anymore.
Head to toe.
He does everything.
Oh.
Keep 1 inch of hair in the very front, like, line. Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought about doing a mohawk, like, you know, doing a wide mohawk and then just stopping where the bald spot starts.
Yeah, a little tough. The anime style.
But, like, a line of it.
You wear a hat every single day anyway, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
I don't know. I don't know if it does or not. The unfortunate thing is aside from that bald spot, like, the rest of my hair is pretty long, like, and filled. So, Yeah.
Just folded over like the president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
presidential fold over.
That's never a good look, man. It doesn't work.
I think it has worked. He's been pretty successful with that hair.
Really? Because yeah. That seems to be one of the points people tend to make fun of him for.
Yeah, and that's why you got to rise above being made fun of.
Sounds like you're a hater.
You got to be like Cooper Smith and you can speak.
Cooper Dick?
Yeah, Cooper Dick.
That was such a dumb insult, too, because it didn't mean anything.
Oh, it got him pretty good.
Every insult in the 80s was a dumb insult.
Like, it,
it's so good.
Like, he could have just called him Dick, and it would have been the same thing. Why do you call him Cooper Dick?
No, it's got to be specific to him.
It was so stupid 80s bullies. They really needed to up their game in the 80s.
Mm.
The bullies, I mean.
I don't know. They're pretty fucking brutal in that movie.
Oh, they are dicks, yeah. That's true.
Killed his dog.
Dude. That's true. Well, not only...
And destroyed his model.
They not only killed the dog, they, you know, sacrificed the dog to Satan.
Well, did they know they were doing that?
No, yeah, they were trying to do the ritual when they did it.
Kill a dog.
They were?
Yeah, they went down and read the stuff off the computer.
He was the only one that was into the Satan stuff.
He's the only Satan.
No, they went down there with the girls, and they were drunk, and they found the computer and turned the computer on and started reading the ritual, and they were like, well, we need a blood sacrifice. And then he was drunk, and he didn't like Cooper Dick anyway, so he went and grabbed his dog, his puppy.
It is a good insult.
Why do you keep? Why are you still using the term when you recognize that it's mean?
Because it's dumb.
I think you're a bully.
Your face is a bully.
Hmm. That's very. You bring up a good point.
Yeah. Maybe.
What you think?
Yeah, you're making me think.
Do you think at the world premiere of Evil Speak that the bullies were there and that they referred to Clint Howard as Cooper Dick when they saw him at the premiere?
Like, do they bullied him in real life?
Yeah, like they were so into those characters. Those characters were just them, you know, and they just had to blast him when they saw him.
Mm-hmm. They had to blast him?
You wouldn't blast Clint Howard if he saw him? I mean, now that he's in Star Wars.
Why are you cutting on me like that? Alright. So, but yeah, so the consensus is I should probably go with the full, you know, embrace the baldness, is what you're saying.
If you think that you're going bald, I think you might be overreacting. But
how's your head? I mean, you have a good head shape? It matters.
I've never had any complaints. I don't know. What?
It's a good question.
I mean, if you got like a weird dent or something.
Yeah, a dent or a like severe point.
Scar.
Yeah, like Julie has a big dent in her head, so she would never shave her head.
When I have buzzed my head.
Well, did she get kicked by something when she was in the kennel? Or pin?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry, I was going all the way back to the beginning.
Fighting over the trough.
I'm definitely going to use that, though, against her someday.
Don't do that. That's mean.
Well, I won't say you did it.
That's still mean, whether you say I did it or not. All right. Well, we'll see how things progress. Or
I want to see progress on this.
Don't progress, however it goes. In that case, I guess we're done here this week.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com. Alan's website is it alanpasalacqua.com?
Just look up angry F, the word angry and the letter F of everything.
What does the F stand for?
It's actually a very long and detailed story. It does not mean the F word.
Ah, oh, okay.
It's because I didn't want to buy the entire domain for what it means, so I just shortened it to angry F.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. People think I'm angry, but I'm really not.
Huh.
There you go. That's out there in the world now.
Great.
He's not really angry, folks. And you really shouldn't hate Mike.com.
No, I don't care if you do.
All right. Sean's website is thankyouforflying.com. Ryan's website is wizard.horse, or not wizard. God hates astronauts.com. That's what it is.
There you go.
And Tim's is timsealyart.blogspot.com, and Addison's is addisonduke.com, and I guess that's all the people that are there today, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for not knowing. And
that's how most of the stuff in my life happens.
Yeah. That works out, you know. All right, then. See everybody next week, except for Alan, probably.
Probably.
Okay, goodbye, Christopher.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.